Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountains of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding at the beginning of thy supplications, and the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Let's pray that we might also have a blessing as Daniel did. We may not have the same blessing, we may not have the same measure, but we can have a blessing from the same God. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in thy name, coming to thee, the everlasting God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who has shown thy face, thyself, in the face of Jesus Christ, who is described in thy holy word as Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He who by whom thou didst make the worlds, and he who by thou didst alone redeem the world. And we pray, Father, in his name, that we also may be given the Holy Spirit, as Daniel was, that we might be given the spirit of prayer and supplication, as promised, Lord Jesus, particularly to Israel, that thou would pour on them the spirit of grace and supplication. But we also need that same blessing as was ever given to Israel, ever given to the Jews, and ever given to the church in all ages, at the beginning of the day of Pentecost, before that, given to the apostles and the others gathered with them, the 120, that they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. And as we see Daniel here in prayer, we pray, be taught to pray, enabled to pray, led to pray, and then that we might have an answer because of Christ to our prayer for thy glory. Father, especially for thy kingdom, but also for those in suffering, in sorrow, in hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, the aged, the sick, the injured. We pray, Father, for thy mercy on all of them, and especially that thou wilt teach them in their suffering that they have here no abiding city, but are to look to thee for a city of whom thou alone art the builder and maker through Christ. Amen. Looking again at this message of Daniel, always thinking that each one will be the last, as we've considered this now for a few weeks. Before that, considering other portions and earlier from Jeremiah, and Lord willing, we may go back to that. As we think of Daniel here at this time, one of the captives of Israel, one of those taken captive while Jeremiah was still prophesying, one of the earlier captives, and evidently was in Babylon here while Jeremiah was still prophesying, that there was a overlapping of their years together. Daniel and Jeremiah, probably about 19 years, as Daniel was carried away in the year 6007 before Christ, and Jeremiah continued till the year 588 before Christ. Also, Ezekiel was prophesying at the same time, and there was also an overlapping of Daniel and Ezekiel. Daniel prophesying much longer than either Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Daniel prophesying for over 70 years, Jeremiah for 41 years, and Ezekiel for 20 years here in Babylon, and also overlapping the time of Daniel, or in the midst of the time of Daniel. But here, Daniel is praying at this time, about 538 years before Christ, about 2 years before Ezra went back to Jerusalem. And as we can see in the first part of this prayer, or the introduction to the prayer, in this ninth chapter, the second verse, in the first year of his reign, that was Darius. I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years were of the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He read the prophet Jeremiah what he had written. That word was given there to the Jews while they were still in Jerusalem, but it was also a word to be sent to the captives in Babylon, that they would make their home there, for the captivity would be long. It was both long, and also Daniel had learned by the prophecy that it would come to an end. We can read the blessing of it when we think of what Daniel or Jeremiah actually did state and write. In Jeremiah 29, we read, first of all, against the prophets who said that the captivity would be very short. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of many, the God of Israel, who was then and still is the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them." And then that message of the prophecy of the captivity and how long. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and will perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." There were the false prophets, prophesying both in Jerusalem and also in Babylon. They were false. They didn't have the word of the Lord. Jeremiah did. Daniel did. Ezekiel did. And later, that prophecy was fulfilled, and Ezra was part of the fulfillment of that prophecy, when in the time of Cyrus, there was an order to go back. Daniel was praying. God had said long before this, 11 years before the captivity finally was fulfilled and the last of the captives were carried away. Jeremiah here, 10 years before that, long before, Daniel was here praying. 60 years. Daniel had himself been there a number of years. But these many years transpired, both with Jeremiah, Daniel, but God is a God who says one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. God, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, gave prophecy. And long before Daniel was here praying, God had said through the prophet Jeremiah that then you shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. Then, God's time. We need to realize that we need to pray, and we are told to pray without ceasing. We are told to pray in the name of Christ. We are told to pray according to God's will. We certainly ought to have an example to learn from Scripture how to pray, as Daniel did. But let's also remember that during this time that Jeremiah was here prophesying of the future, as well as speaking to the Jews at the present. At the present time, God said to him, "Pray not for this people." God would not hear. God would not take away the judgment that was so plainly pronounced on them and for them. They were going to be destroyed. They were going to go into captivity. And they were going to go into captivity for a long time, other than what many of the prophets would say, the captivity is short, saying that both in Jerusalem and the prophets that were there in Babylon. But all of them were taught together of the Lord. Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and others as well. Then we have, as we saw in the early part of this chapter, Daniel praying to God, the Lord. Lord God, over and over, he mentioned that. O Lord, God was Lord. And as God had said to Jeremiah, he was the Lord of hosts. He was the God of Israel. Daniel knew that. But that isn't all that Daniel knew. Many people speak of God. Many people in the time of Christ said, we have one Father, even God. They said they were Abraham's children. They thought they believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And historically, they did. They may have. They very likely knew better than we do today that God was creator. And God had given a special favor to Israel. But one thing that they didn't know for the most part in the time of Jeremiah, all through that history, and even in the time when they were in Babylon, as God said to Ezekiel, he said, I'm sending you to a rebellious house. He said that Ezekiel was amongst scorpions. They were not humble. They did not know, as Daniel did, that they were sinners. And that is another thing that we see in Daniel that was not in many of the Israelites. Most of them. Only a remnant learned it, knew it, and were blessed in it as Daniel was, and even greatly beloved of his God. This is one thing that must be learned. Paul said later of Israel, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Not only is that true of everyone that believeth, that blessing, but is the only way for Jew and Gentile. It is the only way for the Jews today. It is the only way for all of the world. All of the heathen religions, Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, they must know God's righteousness. They must submit to God's righteousness. And all the rest of the religions, Jewish and all those that I mentioned, basically have a religion of works, going about to establish their own righteousness, often thinking there's a God. One thinking this way, another thinking of that way, some plurality of gods, some speaking of Allah, but by their doing, they suppose they can please this God, whoever he is. And that's true for the Jew who believes they know the God of Israel, and it's true for those who have other views of who God is. But one thing must be known, as we closed with last week, when Daniel said, Chapter 9, verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, my sin, Daniel, the righteous one, right from the beginning of being a young boy, as we can read in Daniel chapter 1, not willing to defile himself with the dainties of the king of Babylon, the food even. He wanted to eat just that which he knew was pleasing to God, by which he had been directed. And other things as well, both Daniel and his three friends. They acted in the way of righteousness. But they knew they were sinners. Do you know that? Yes, Israel and the church both had one thing in common. Historic faith. I had that for years. Strangely, foolishly, I didn't know what was wrong with the Israelites until I learned I was like them. Until I learned I was as sinful as they were. I could see their sin. I could see their foolishness. But I couldn't see my own. And they couldn't see theirs. The Israelites would say to Moses that you aren't the only one that's holy. You aren't the only one. All these other people are holy as well as you are. And the few others that were with Moses. Only two of them that came out of Egypt of those who were over 20 came into Canaan. The rest all died, the older ones, in unbelief. That terrible, terrible sin of unbelief. Speaking about God, yes, speaking about God, thinking they knew God, thinking they knew as well as others, as well as Moses, but not really knowing the Holy God. Not knowing the God who is perfect. As Christ said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfection. The one that we're called then to love in his perfection. I heard someone say today on the radio, I have no trouble believing there's a God, but I do have a problem really loving that God. And most of us do. We all do. Not because God cannot be loved, or that he should not be loved. He should. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It is true at times God deals severely in justice, as he did with Israel, with Judah, during the time of Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. But always in justice, never unjust, never punishing more than sin deserves. And as long as we're in this world, always less than sin deserves. People say, well, this is hell. No, it's not. Not even for you who may be suffering terribly in thirst, in hunger, in persecution. This is not hell. There's a hope. Particularly if you have the right hope in God, which will not be in hell. You can have a hope in God now, even if you aren't right with God. You can cry to God. You can do as Jeremiah said, then shall they call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's the message for today. Yes, in a way, nobody heard it at the time of Jeremiah. It wasn't until years later that they would hear it, first of all, not from Ezekiel. And evidently, through the years, they learned it, probably from him and from others, and then were prepared to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple and to worship rightly. But they were slow in learning. And as I said before, when they went, even those that escaped the terrible judgments in Jerusalem and were brought to Babylon, those that were the favored people, those that were the remnant kept alive, they were a rebellious house in Babylon. And no wonder that Daniel had to say, confessing my sin and the sin of my people. The people, their sin of the past. Josiah said, God is angry because our fathers have sinned. That was a king a little earlier than this, the earlier part of Jeremiah's prophecy, but it was true for the present, as Daniel and Ezekiel were both there in the midst of the captives. And that is one thing we must learn if we are to come further than just having a historic faith. Sadly, even those who have a historic faith believe not only in God, many know and teach and hold to redemption in Christ, both, as many say, for themselves and for their children. Many are thankful for it, rejoice in it, sing praises to God for it. But only those who actually receive Christ, as John said, to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And how are we to receive him? As sinners. The Lord Jesus himself said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Much of the message that the Lord Jesus is described as giving is a message of repentance. He stated that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Another gospel writer tells us only that he preached and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When he gave the apostles' orders shortly before he went back to heaven, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations. It is true, we also said to preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, saved. Not just kept, but saved. Saved from their sin. Saved from their sinful condition. Saved from their lost condition. Saved from going down to hell. Saved that we might then be forgiven and be prepared for heaven. Yes, that was the message, and also to teach. Another, Matthew records how Christ said we are to teach all nations, teaching them whatever he commanded. That's obedience. So there's repentance, there's obedience, and there is certainly the gospel. All are to be preached. Some probably with more emphasis in one time or another, depending on the knowledge of the people to whom the gospel or the word of God is coming. But all of it is part of God's word. And as Paul said, he preached the whole counsel of God. There were some that heard Christ in the beginning of his message. In John chapter 8, he gave a wonderful picture of the gospel. Verse 28, he said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And we read that when he spoke these words, many believed on him. We could say they had a historic faith. They believed what he had said. But he also said to them then, "If you continue in my word, if you get the whole message, then are you my disciples, and you'll be set free." And the people answered and said, "We're not in bondage." And Christ made it very plain. He said, "Whosoever sinneth is a servant of sin." You are in bondage. And they didn't like it. They didn't believe it. And they got angry with him. Oh, don't get angry when the call of repentance comes to you, that you are a sinner and must repent to believe rightly on Christ to be saved.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.